Kay Morris, and you are about to embark on the next Pioneer Knowledge Services Because You Need to Know, a digital resource for you to listen to folks share their experience and knowledge around the field of knowledge management and nonprofit work.
Thank you for listening to Because You Need to Know, the Reference Podcast in Knowledge Management. My name is Sony Tonebe. As an art administrator, Because You Need to Know has been my go-to podcast and has helped me hone my management skills. Please consider sponsoring the podcast with your business.
Hej, jag heter Dan. Jag bor i Höllviken, Sverige, men just nu sitter jag i Köpenhamn. Hi, my name is Dawn Brusamar. I live in Holviken, Sweden, but I'm currently sitting in an old brewery building in Copenhagen, Denmark. The most interesting thing near me is the Øresund Bridge, which I can see a tiny sliver of from my home, see entirely from my office in Malmo, Sweden, and I cross it several times a week heading to my company's head office where I am now. It's an 8-kilometer bridge and a 4-kilometer tunnel combination that connects Sweden and Denmark, and it is amazing. For people who don't do kilometers, that's 5-mile bridge and a 2.5-mile tunnel. It opened in the year 2000, and it completely changed the region. I absolutely love working with knowledge management, which is what I have done in one capacity or another across about 25 years and several transatlantic moves. I currently work at Implement Consulting Group, a consulting company with Danish roots, and I'm starting and leading their knowledge management initiatives. I create value by bringing order to chaos, or at least creating more organized chaos. The best advice I have ever received was to always assume benevolent intent in others. I approach each interaction as if the only thing the other party wants is the best outcome in the situation. And I try not to assign preconceived motives to people. I learned this at a leadership course when I worked at McKinsey & Company, and I try to apply it consistently. It changes both one's approach and mood.
Wow. That's like the absolute easiest that I've ever heard somebody do this.
Well, I have it in large font on a wall. So. Plus, it's interesting. Right. This bridge is very interesting.
Gotcha. How does knowledge management and library skills come together?
Right. So I think that librarians are the perfect people to do knowledge management. When I think about knowledge management within a company, the user views you're going to look at and what people need is very similar to when somebody comes to you at a reference desk in a library, right? You need to figure out what they actually want and meet their needs with what you have available and make sure everything's organized to find it.
Well, sure. That always helps. In that paradigm you just described, you're saying the workforce recognizes knowledge management as a reference library.
In some respects, it's not quite as transactional. I think it's a lot more about connecting people as well. But
all right. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I think the most important thing in knowledge management is connecting the right people to each other, not just documents. Like in my current job, I'm trying to set up a system, but it's more a system for connecting people than just putting technology on top of the documents, right?
All right. What comes first when you're standing up KM? People, process, or technology?
People and the culture. Trying to figure out how it works in this new environment and not trying to impose structure on them that they're not used to.
Wait a minute now. You're saying you're going to go to your people first and find out what they need?
Of course. Isn't that the main?
You give me that look like, well, hell yeah, that's the way we do things.
Well, everything starts with people. And especially in this company I'm at now, a big part of our culture is developing the best people and making the best workplace. So,
wow. What's the retention rate of your organization? Does anybody ever leave?
It's very high. We have very low churn.
Ah.
I don't have the actual statistic in front of me, but people stick around here for a long time, and those that leave usually come back.
Interesting. So what's the sweet spot that culture figured out that makes it so good?
The company was actually, it's founded on two principles, really, that 33% of change projects actually succeed only. We realized that. And then only 14% of people are fully engaged in their job.
Oof.
So this company is trying to, like, see how those are correlated and make it also the best place for people, not just the best project management or implementation place.
Are you saying that your organization decided to create a KM operation based off those two findings?
Well, they decided to create this company based off those two findings and use those as guiding principles. And now, growing over 20% per year, this company that started 25 or so years ago with a few people is now almost 1,500 people. So it's been growing organically, but there need to be some sort of knowledge management structures and procedures put in place now. So that's why I'm here.
Well, that's awesome. So how did you get into that opportunity?
Yeah, so connections, that's always how it works, right? I was working for McKinsey & Company at the time here in Scandinavia. So I live in Sweden for the Copenhagen office. One of my neighbors worked at this company, and I had met him through a meeting on the street. I live on a grounds, and he was at that meeting, and he offered me a pen to use, and it was a pen branded with a company I'm now working for. And I said, I don't want your pen. I work at McKinsey. It's a competitor. I was just joking, of course. I wasn't really that snobby about it. Then he said, oh, what do you do there? And I explained. And he said, we really need that. Mm. And then fast forward 6 or 7 years, and I was looking for a new opportunity, and I reached out and said, do you guys still need some knowledge management help? And lo and behold, they did. So,
boom, come on in. Have a seat. Here's your desk. Yeah, thanks.
No, I think it was a more involved process than that. But I think that they needed to convince people that it was the right time and I was the right person, et cetera. But yeah, I've been here about 5.5 months.
Oh, 5.5 months. Ooh. So are you in the consumption phase of trying to find your way, or is it pretty straightforward? And I asked that because you kind of said something about chaos. So
yeah, I wouldn't say it's chaotic here, but it's a very unique culture. We have some principles like find your own way, choose your own leader. People are encouraged to follow whatever ideas they have.
Wait a minute. You're just saying they hire people and they say, hey, go figure it out. Go make your own chain of command. Find your leader. What are you saying?
Well, it's based on the principle that leaders emerge. So you will find someone that you find inspiring, and then that will be the person that you choose to follow. We don't appoint leaders here. They emerge because people want them to lead them.
Wow, that is pretty organic. That is very organic. I mean, just in plain biology. It just sounds pretty organic.
Right. Yeah. It's not what I'm used to.
Well, I would have to say it's probably what 98% of the planet is not used to.
Yeah.
So how do we get more of that? How do we get organizations to listen to that?
I don't know. But for example, like 2 weeks ago, I was on a company-wide kickoff because our year starts in August. Most people take off in July in Scandinavia. And we were all gathered in a field in tents for 2 nights, 3 days. So it's not something I generally saw in the New York corporate world.
Well, I would have to assume, and just knowing the United States, it sounds like that organizational structure would only exist maybe in California. But yeah, it's an interesting concept.
Well, we do have a small office in North Carolina.
Ooh.
That opened.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. We are growing worldwide. We have 11 offices in 6 countries, but that's our first U.S. office.
What's the essence of what you do then? What's the organization all about?
It's really about helping people in its essence. It's a consulting firm, right? We help people with change projects. We have many different areas that we work in. So strategy, transformation, growth and innovation, operations and efficiency, digitalization and IT, leadership and change, and then a big focus on sustainability as well.
So is your structure of knowledge management an internal facing structure, or is this something that also will be offered?
So right now I'm just trying to do it internally, but I assume that if I'm successful and I come up with some solutions and frameworks that we can also offer it to our clients in the future, hopefully.
Do you see any difference now that you're kind of looking at the globe as your customer? Is there any region, is there in the scope of what you guys offer and operate around, is there certain regions that are more ready for what you offer versus others around the globe?
Generally, our growth has been in Scandinavia, but we're really expanding into Germany. Hmm. That's been a big growth area for us. And I think that, we could expand anywhere in the world. I think we have a unique offering.
Well, is it similar to McKinsey?
In what way?
Yeah,
the offerings
yeah, yeah.
Just, or in the culture? Well, the culture
okay,
is not.
The culture is.
The scale is not.
Well, it sounds like this place is a heck of a lot more fun to work at than McKenzie, but go ahead. I just...
No comment on that. But McKenzie has, I think they're up to about 40,000 employees at this point, right? So they're spending, I just got the latest figures, estimates, $750 million U.S. dollars a year on knowledge management, thought leadership, publishing, et cetera.
Wow.
So, and here we have, we're closing in on 1,500 employees. Yeah. So it's a much different scale. At McKinsey, I was leading a global knowledge operations team that was part of an already established knowledge management infrastructure. Mm-hmm. And here there's been some attempts at knowledge management, but this is the first real formalized attempt to get a handle on it.
We've talked about organizational structures and especially your unique operating structure you're in now, but I want to go back to something we had originally talked about, why you believe librarians are just the perfect KMers. What's that skill set that you really need to work well in KM, do you think?
As I mentioned before, one of the main things is just understanding user needs, understanding information-seeking behavior, right? So we need to figure out what people want, when they need it, maybe what they don't even know that they need ahead of time. So we get the right view on that. Mm-hmm. Then also just the skills of organizing. These are skills that you learn if you're a librarian, but also possibly you had innately, and that's why you pursued that career path. Mm-hmm. For example, I've done everything from databases to organizing people's closets over my career. So it's all the same skill. It's the same skill, but applied in different areas.
What's more important, a taxonomy or an ontology?
Well, taxonomy is the basis of everything, right? You've got to have the right categories there. Ontology, also good to have if you're talking about concepts, but like here I'm looking at fixing the master data so that we can build things on top of it. I really think just nailing down taxonomy is the most important. For me at this point, anyway.
You bring up a good point because you basically just said, until you get that foundation, there's no going forward. That's your first brick in place in the foundation. You've got to have that first.
Right. Garbage in, garbage out. You can put the fanciest system on top of the data, but if the data is not sorted, it's not going to provide the results.
That's interesting. You're saying that you have to come up with a schema that compartmentalizes and categorizes and creates this taxonomy. Is this going to be something that's community built? And I ask that because it's just curious, with your current organization, are you going to have like 10 stakeholders come in to help you figure that out? Or is it up to you?
Well, I would think that I would want to involve the experts, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not an expert on every area that we work in. I may be an expert in organizing knowledge and information, but I need to talk to the people who are actually close to that work and that information, who know what the universe actually looks like in their area.
In conjunction with that effort, are you going to have to build a glossary, or do you already have a glossary?
I don't have a glossary, no. Yeah, I'll have to have definitions for everything to understand it, and synonyms terms.
Yes, exactly. I'm glad you're bringing all this up because I think a lot of listeners don't really see that as a key ingredient and understand that if you don't involve your population you serve, you're never going to hit the mark with any of this work. But in conjunction with the taxonomy, you've got word headers or word categories, then you have to define the words. And yet again, that's a community build. But I think a lot of organizations miss that opportunity by not even having a glossary.
Right. And that just made me think of one example of that. I was just talking today with someone about experts, right? Expertise, locating experts. What is an expert?
Exactly.
Is an expert someone who did some work on this in the past, someone who went to school for this, someone who somebody else said, hey, you know a lot about this topic. You're an expert. Even using the word expertise when building a people finder is a little bit of a hot topic.
Because someone could say, oh, I have a PhD in this. So does that make you an expert? Maybe. Or, you know, the opposite end of the coin. I have no formal training, but I've been doing this for 10 years and I'm pretty good at it. Well, you may be the expert. So what's the magic? What's the magic of doing knowledge management?
The magic.
You tell me the magic.
The magic in the results or?
No. Just as you're whipping up the recipe to make this all work.
Well, the magic right now is that this hasn't been done here before. So I'm looking at a very unique challenge. And it's super exciting. But it's super exciting, but super complicated.
Well, and it's got to be a little nerve-wracking because you're building the wheel, right? And everybody's looking at you. Okay, what are we doing? You're like, well, you may not have all the answers right at the moment, but it's kind of a fun gig because you're creating.
Right.
You are an artist in this. You are creating something that has not yet been there.
But I will say that they are doing some of this. Otherwise, they wouldn't have survived this long.
Okay.
So I think that I just need to find the right people, and I'm starting to do that. Like the people who are naturally doing all these right. activities, but do not have a title involving knowledge management or knowledge sharing. Because there's always those people within an organization who are doing this.
Are just damn good communicators.
Right.
What behaviors, you said some of these folks already have these already, that's why they've survived and thrived for so many years. What are those behaviors? What, if you had to recommend to a small organization, a small nonprofit that's in the midst of trying to find the right people to do the work, what are those behaviors you really want to scope for?
It's actually going all back to the people topic again. I think the most important thing is getting people who are connectors and seeing who to reach out to and establishing these type of informal networks within the company.
Okay.
It's all down to the people. I can build a system, but they're not like if I build some technological system that spits out experts or documents, if the culture's not there and the people aren't sharing, then it's not going to do anything.
Where does that come from? How do you evaluate four folks trying to come in the door for a position to find that out, behaviors? How, is there a question on your interview sheet that you say, oh, I'm going to ask these three questions and I'm going to know who's my go-getter, my connector, my broker?
I think you can just sense it through the other questions and how they react. I don't think there's a specific question you can ask for that. I think it might come out in examples they have from previous positions, right? You'll hear that they have those type of tendencies.
I was just wondering if there's an actual Likert scale that we could just ask five questions and we'll automatically see, oh, that's the person right there. That's the one.
No, I think if anybody had figured that out, they'd have the golden ticket, right?
Yep, they'd have that magic number. What is your definition of knowledge management?
I guess it's just the process by which organizations gather, organize, share, incentivize sharing what they've done and what they know, like organization-wide, right? So it's a set of behaviors, maybe a system, but like I said, I don't want to put too much importance on the system, technological. It's also processes. It's sort of a culture, right? You need a culture that supports that people share their knowledge so they're not gaining power by hoarding it.
Give me some of those mantras or ethos your organization hold up there. What were some of those bullets that they prescribe is for your organization?
Be your own leader. Be curious. Prototype, or I'm always prototyping. So we're trying things that may not have been done before to see if they work.
So this sounds to me like the foundation of knowledge management.
Yeah, I think it's a good fit, right?
Yeah.
But it's also by nature not very, I would say, constrained, categorized.
Formal.
When I first joined, I thought this might be almost too big of a challenge because you're in a culture where they don't want to be put in boxes. And then I'm coming in with some boxes, potentially.
Some boxes. You know, how do you come in? And I hate to say it, but it just every time you talk about this work culture, all I can think of is like back in the 60s with a bunch of hippies just like, hey, man, just do your thing, man. Come on.
No.
You can do it. No.
No, it's not. It's not that extreme. I think it's just because I'm coming from a more structured, like, American setting.
Wait a minute. Well, you're the one that said you spent 2 days in a bunch of tents with these people. It's like.
Right. But that's also part of the culture that everybody feels like we're one team, right? I think that will help with the knowledge sharing, that we have like this group ethos.
Well, it's one big community of practice, right? It's more community than it is organization.
Right.
In some ways. I mean, it just sounds more organic. Here again, I keep saying organic. It just sounds like an organic way to do things.
And it has been. But as like this large growth year over year, we need to put some sort of organization in place around it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's a certain level where you're going to have to break that mold and reformulate to adopt to the new scale, because scale's the test.
Right.
Right. Scaling is the absolute test to success. Well, it sounds like you've got your work cut out for you. What is going to be your biggest challenge?
I think just getting some practical things put in place. I don't think I have to convince people that we need this. I actually did a first year user survey, mm-hmm. and it's like overwhelmingly positive about we create great knowledge. And then when we're talking about organizing or utilizing or accessing that knowledge, it's a much lower percentage of people who think we're doing a good job. The mandate is here. Mm-hmm. People are very excited. So I just need to harness that, figure out my own brand of knowledge management to fit this culture.
I think you might be in the most envious position of any KMer anywhere at any time on the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Huh?
So I need to step up to the challenge now. So
the opposite of what I hear 74% of the people on the show is that they're trying to convince the culture. They're trying to convert the culture. They're trying, you know, and it's this brick wall a lot of the time of trying to convert people over. And you just walked into the ocean and said, hey, I'm here. You got nothing but opportunity.
Right. Well, one of the most important things in this type of position is having the top management buy-in. So the fact that they brought me in and said, we're doing this now. Yeah. No, so it's a signal to the whole organization that this is a priority. So yeah.
So we've talked about the culture being the key. We've talked about the people being the key. We've talked about the taxonomy being one of the foundational pieces to what you need to have in place to go forward. Given those already talked about, what have we not talked about that's still missing?
Maybe some of the more consulting-centric things, like we need to be able to reapply approaches, frameworks, so we're not reinventing the wheel over and over. So like in consulting, yeah, our product is our people and our knowledge, but also how we can apply what we've learned and continue to grow our institutional knowledge and reapply it, mm-hmm. so that other clients mm-hmm. get the benefit of that as well.
So are we talking about a business intelligence function and or just to, like you said, you don't want to lose what works. You want to make it available across the enterprise so it saves everybody else work. So you're talking about a formal procedural process, workflows, those sorts of things.
But also, right? One paradox here is also that you don't want to create cookie cutter approach, because that's not what we're doing here at this company. So there's a fine line to walk there. So you don't want to just churn out the same approach for everyone, but you want to be able to take what you've learned and reapply it.
Well, that sounds like that's going to be a challenge in itself, because people do rely on templates. People do rely on some procedural workflows to make things easier. But as you say, then it ends up being predictable, repeatable, and not very creative. You don't want to lose the creation side, but you want to bring some efficiency in the same breath.
Right. And I also want to make sure that stuff is being shared across the organization, because I think that will lead to more innovation. Mm. And then we can have even better approaches and more unique offerings in the market.
Well, thank you, Dawn. Thank you for being here. I want to hear more. I would love to have you back to hear how things are progressing.
Anytime.
Give me a last bit of wisdom from the mouth of Dawn.
I can draw upon something Nick Milton has said. If knowledge is a garden, then knowledge management is gardening. It's a quote from Nick Milton. So I am trying to create the fertile soil for knowledge to grow here, and then perfect. We will tend to it.
That is perfect. That's a beautiful way to end. Thank you, Dawn. Just finished our latest Because You Need to Know, a public service of Pioneer Knowledge Services. Please join us on LinkedIn and find us at pioneer-ks.org.